All right, a couple things for our lesson today. We are in chapter 5 in the book Continue, A Biblical Journey in Personal Discipleship. These are the devotional things for this week, so if you could help me pass these out, I would appreciate it. Yep, Todd, Scott. And Scott, while you're at it, Todd had a good idea of passing out verses for you all to read. I can't let Todd outdo me. So I did one step better. I actually printed them out for you. And if somebody would like to, if you could pass these out, there are just three of them for today. That's one thing I like. It's actually been a long time since I've sat in Sunday school class when we had another church member teach. I've been obviously sat in class when pastor teaches or a visiting speaker teaches, but I really enjoyed listening to Todd, and I learned things from him, not just about the Bible, but about teaching, and that's one of the blessings of, I think, of what we're doing with this. So I will be teaching this next lesson on developing a prayer life the next couple weeks, and then we'll see how it goes after that. But so if you have your books, turn to page 97 and just take one of the things that I've done. I mean, I'll be 70 here in a couple months. I hate saying that, getting older. I was saved at the age of 7, so I've been saved a long time and been in church all my life. Went to a Bible college and studied Bible. We look at this book, and it's obviously written for new converts. The way I try to look at it for my life and what has been helpful is, even though some of this stuff may be old hat, it may be something that we all know really well, that it just seems to be so common, I look at it for me as to how I would explain this to a new convert, helping me explain things to a new convert. And while I am, last lesson Brother Todd taught on salvation, and while I am, you heard the phrase preaching to the choir, sometimes we just hear things and we hear them over and over again and we accept them and believe them because that's the only thing we hear. But there are people who believe you can lose your salvation. They believe that you can do something that will cause you to no longer be saved. And so it's important that, like last week, we talked about that, about assurance of our salvation, last couple of weeks, that we know if somebody came up to you and said, "Can I lose my salvation?" And we would say, "Well, no." And they would say, "Well, how do you know that? Can you give me a verse that would you could use to show someone they could not lose their salvation?" Look at it this way. Maybe you don't know the reference exactly, and maybe you could not quote it exactly, but what would you tell them? What's a verse that, Dan? John 3:16. Most people know that one, but what's another passage of Scripture that we could use to show someone that they could not lose their salvation? Ephesians 1:13-14. All right, what's another one? I mean, there are lots of them. Yeah, Sherry? The one that says that no one can pluck them out of his hand. I'm not exactly sure where that is. I think it's in John, maybe John 10, if I was guessing. But those are verses that it's important. While we know, most of us here know, that you can't lose your salvation, that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption, there are people who don't know that. And as we share the gospel with people, it's important for us to be able to answer those kind of questions. So The last lesson, we learned a lot about our salvation, about the assurance of our salvation. We learned, how to deal with the idea that what if we don't feel saved? We talked about baptism and the importance of baptism. Today we're going to talk about, or starting today, we'll talk about developing a prayer life. And, prayer is, if you've ever led someone to the Lord, one of the first things you ask them to do is pray. You'll say, pray this prayer with me, or pray this prayer, or, repeat after me, and you ask them to pray and ask God to save them. So prayer is one of the very first things that we learn in our Christian life. And there's books and books and books written on prayer and what it means. We obviously are going to try to cover the topic in a couple weeks. But prayer is something that is very important to our Christian life. And there's some more things written about it than what we could cover in a couple of weeks. In this lesson, though, we will look at some of the basic truths regarding how to pray, what to pray for, and how to keep our prayer life strong. While it is one of the first things we learn to do as a Christian, it is also something that we never perfect, that we keep improving and growing in our prayer life. I know it is true for me, continually learning more about the importance of prayer and what prayer is and how to pray. This last year, doing some personal study in Scripture, the Lord really showed me some things about prayer that I had not noticed before. And so there's always something that we can learn about prayer. So on page 98, the first thing we're going to take a look at is that prayer is an invitation. For the child of God, prayer is an invitation to the very throne of heaven. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. Last verse there, verse 16, has a couple things in it, but come boldly under the throne of grace. That's an interesting statement. But prayer, the first blank there on page 98, prayer is talking to God. Prayer is not something special. You don't need to go to school to learn how to pray. I mean, the words that we use, there's not a certain set of words. I mean, most of us, like me, I usually start my prayers out with the Dear Heavenly Father, and I end with, in the name of Jesus. We kind of get into habits. I find myself doing that. I pray before I eat, and I obviously eat at least three meals a day. And, I pray before I eat, and I can find myself, saying the same thing over and over and over again, which can be bad, is not necessarily bad, but you can get into habits and you say the same things, but prayer isn't always that. Sometimes, I mean, prayer is not a specific set of words you have to say in a certain order. Prayer is talking to God. Just talking to God like you might talk to someone else, a friend here on earth. It's talking to God, letting Him know what you're thinking, what you're struggling with, the problems you're facing, the things that you need. That is prayer. Jeremiah 33:3. Who has that one? Oh, Todd? The second blank there, prayer is asking for our needs. Amazingly, God cares about every need in our lives and invites us to bring them to Him in prayer. He tells us to call upon Him. And so that is something that we ought to do in our prayer life. Is it's just talking to God. It's asking Him for the things that we need. And then in Matthew 6:26. You know, that's Christ in Matthew chapter 6. Most of us are familiar with verse 33, where he tells us, Yeah, there you go. Seek ye first the kingdom. What's amazing, now your mind goes blank. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And that passage is about, when it says all these things shall be added unto you, that's about some of the very basic necessities of life. And he says we're more important. I mean, if God pays attention to the sparrows and to the flowers, you know, how much more important are we than they? And so those kind of things in our prayer life are things that it ought to amaze us. One, I always like 1 John 3. I think it's verse 3, which is, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." And it is amazing, isn't it, that God saves us. It's amazing that He loves us. It's amazing that He actually listens to us when we pray. But God does. I mean, of all the things that God created, man is the one that is most precious to Him. And so God hears us. In 1 John 5:14, it says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." These are promises that we have. And when it says we can come, earlier read in Hebrews 4:16, to come boldly unto the throne. Then here it says in 1 John 5:14, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him." It is a... Moses is referred to as the meekest man who ever lived. There's a lot of definitions for meekness. Meekness, as you probably have heard, meekness is not weakness. But meekness, I think, is that unique combination of boldness or confidence and humility. It's a boldness in that what God's promised us. It's a humility in that we don't deserve it. And so we can be bold as we come before God. We can be confident in His promises that if we ask anything according to His will, He will answer it, or He heareth us, and that He cares about us. And in Matthew 7:7, it says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." That God desires to grant our requests. Now, two questions, or one question. For now, does that mean, I think most of us would agree, that does not mean that if I go home this afternoon and spend all afternoon in prayer asking God for a new Toyota Tacoma pickup truck, that tomorrow I'm going to get a pickup truck. That's not what that means, is it? So what do you, I mean, what's that talking about? And when you read that and you hear that, what do you see that as meaning? That if we ask, that we knock, and it shall be given to you, seek, and you shall find, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. What to you, when you read that, how do you look at that as part of your prayer life? I mean, we know what it doesn't mean. What does it mean? Yeah, Brother Renee?
I often go back to what Christ prayed for, that God would remove that cup from him. If he was praying for that, obviously that wasn't God's will. So when you're praying, it doesn't mean if you're in line with God's will, it will answer your prayer.
Right. I agree. Scott? Yeah. Most of us in here have been parents, if not of little children now, at least at one point we had children, little children. And how many times did your kids ask you for something that you knew was not good for them and would not give it to them? I mean, often, right? We don't like to think about it, but compare us to God, we're little children. We really don't know sometimes, or many times, or maybe all the time, what's best for us or what we need or what we might ask for that might be harmful. We don't see the end result as God does. I've often said God, our time is like a yardstick, and God holds it in his hands, and he can see the beginning and he can see the end, while we're just stuck here somewhere, you know, along the path, and we don't know, you know, really much of what happened behind us, and we know nothing of what's going to happen in front of us. But God sees the beginning from the end. God's answers to our prayers, thankfully, God does not always give us what we ask for, but he always gives us what we need and what's good for us. So our prayer life, and as it says in the middle of page 99, our needs may be physical, financial, emotional, or spiritual, at least those four areas. You look at our midweek motivator, the prayer list. There are a lot of prayer requests on there for physical needs. There are a few prayer requests on there for spiritual needs. But it seems like that most time in our prayer life, we are praying that God would meet some physical need or maybe some financial need. Your brother and
I?
Yeah, it's hard to understand sometimes why God does what he does. And that's part of where our faith comes in, is knowing that God's plan and purpose will be accomplished. And, that's part of trusting him for the future. Yes. Yeah, that's true. Any other comments or questions? By the way, I was in the middle of talking and Brother Rene raised his hand. Feel free to do that anytime, okay? I appreciate that. You know, if you've got something you'd like to say, because I could stand up here and just jabber, you know, talk for the whole time, and it's better when we have comments and questions from you all. So please feel free to do that. With that, anybody have an answer to a prayer from this past week, either something you prayed for physically or financially, emotionally or spiritually, any of those? We mentioned earlier in the opening that yesterday God seemed to answer prayer with the outreach yesterday and the number of contacts that were made. Pastor was real excited about the possibilities in that neighborhood, so that's a good answer to prayer. Anybody else want to share an answer to prayer from this week? Yes. Oh, amen. Praise the Lord. Anything else? Any other prayer requests? Or prayer answers to prayer? Yeah.
Well, thank you. I
God made one available, but a week later, a woman I'd never met had one that she would have to repent for years. It was like brand new. I asked the mechanic, what's wrong with it? She's got the price so low, I can afford it.
Well,
this happened to be my size. I mean, there's just been things after things that, as I focus just upon this, and I'm not trying to exalt myself, I'm just saying here's a pattern that if we delight ourselves in the Lord, and we shall give thee. I'm not a prosperity preacher, I don't pray for, I don't focus on money or things like that. I just see things, and but watching God just do things that you just don't expect him to do.
Yeah, amen. He mentioned a couple things that God provided for him. Apparently he did pray for a car and got one. But a suit and how God provided these things, those were needs that he had, and God provided for those. So praise the Lord for that. Any other prayer or answers to prayer? I'm so used to asking for prayer requests. All right, well, I appreciate that. The next section is prayer is a command. So not only are we invited to pray and get and to come before the throne of God, but we're commanded to do so. Colossians 4:2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. That the first phrase there, continue in prayer, is what we call in English grammar a polite command or an imperative sentence, where there's the subject is understood, and we have the word continue in prayer as a command. We are told that we should pray. In fact, it says Christ assumes that we will pray. And notice how when Jesus instructed his disciples concerning prayer, he said, when, the blank there, when ye pray, not if ye pray. Luke 11:2, the disciples had asked him to teach them to pray, and he said to them, when ye pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is as in heaven. Thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth. The Luke passage is just slightly different than Matthew. But the assumption is that we are going to pray. So it asks the question, how should we pray? And then it gives us multiple things that will help us in our prayer life. And we will get through most of these today, maybe. But number one there on the top of page 100, pray regularly. I underlined the phrase there, or the sentence, two sentences below. It says, prayer is not something we run to only in times of emergency. It is to be our regular communication with God. So when we say pray regularly, that means you ought to pray about virtually everything in your life and make it a regular part of your day, not just something that you go to God and pray, you know, when you need something or you're in trouble or you're some anxiety or some problem. Prayer ought to be a regular part of our life. The passage here, Psalms 5, says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Now, most preachers, most people I've ever heard talk about prayer will tell you that really, it's good to start your day with some Bible reading and a time of prayer. That's probably true. Now, I'll be honest, that's not been the normal pattern in my life. I'm not a morning person. I've also been at prayer meetings late at night where there's a group of guys sitting around praying, and the guy next to me, when he was done, had to nudge me to wake me up to get me to pray. Picking a time for you where you can concentrate on praying and spend some quality time in prayer is important. Now, my dad is a morning person, and so he can get up when he wakes up, he's out of bed and he's wide awake and ready to go. I'm not. So it takes me a little bit of time, but sometime though, whether it's in the morning or the middle of the day, or in the evening or all three of those, it is good to have a regular set time of prayer where you go to God and as it says earlier, that we just talk to God, we share with God our concerns and our cares and our needs, knowing that God is listening, He hears us, and it's good that you do that, not just when, something bad's about to happen. This middle of the page there, pray continually. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. And if I remember correctly, which may be a big if, I believe, we always say that Jesus wept is the shortest verse in the Bible. That's the shortest verse in the English Bible. I believe the shortest verse in the Greek Bible is 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Don't quote me on that, but I think that's the case. But pray without ceasing. Now, what does that mean? I'm sure all of us have heard that verse before. Brother Nate, do you have a... Yeah, I think that's the best explanation. I mean, obviously it doesn't mean... Because, Matthew 6 says when you pray, go into your closet and pray. So pray without ceasing doesn't mean lock yourself up in your closet, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It means that we should all day long be in a situation where we, number one, know we can, and we do, go to God in prayer. Yeah, Scott?
I like to call that moment-by-moment dependence.
Yeah, very good. Moment-by-moment dependence. I like that. That is... again, we hear that a lot, but what that means is that every moment of every day, we acknowledge our dependence on God. We can go to God. We can just, as we said, prayer is talking to God. We can talk to God anytime. And, whatever it might be, what our concerns might, even our joys, God likes it when we just say thank you. God likes it when we say, hey, this was a great day. Thank you. Those are the things, or some good thing just happens and we can praise God and thank Him for His goodness. And we can do that all day long without any issue. So we should pray without ceasing. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, obviously, here at church, when we have a prayer time, we bow our heads and close our eyes. I mean, we all say that almost every time. Obviously, you don't have to bow your head and close your eyes to pray. Because if you're driving down the road, don't bow your head and close your eyes. When it talks about praying without ceasing, it's not some position that we take or think. It's just this attitude that we can constantly go before God, and as Scott said, a moment-by-moment dependence. The third blank there, pray with faith. Pray knowing that your Heavenly Father wants you to pray, hears your request, and will do what is best for you. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Now, I'll be honest, I have not often thought about this verse in terms of prayer, but notice it says, without faith it's impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is. So isn't that what prayer is? Coming to God? And if we're going to go to Him in prayer, we got to believe that He is and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That's what prayer is, believing in God and the faith in who He is. Matthew 21:22, in all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. And the top of 101, Pray with the right motives. Pray with the right motives. James 4 says, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not, and ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. I said earlier, we all know that if I were to pray for a pickup truck, that I would necessarily not get it tomorrow. And that's because sometimes we would pray that just because we want something, we have this desire for it, a lust for it, as Scripture says here, and we just want to consume it upon ourselves. We need to watch that, make sure that we've seen multiple times in these verses that what we pray for is praying for God's will, praying that God's will be accomplished. I said earlier that I'd done some study and had learned some things about prayer early on. I don't know that I ever actually thought about it before. It's amazing that I hadn't, but, Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he prayed, he said, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thine be done. So many times I look at prayer and find in my own life that my prayer life is me going to God, telling him what I want him to do. And the Lord's really convicted me about that in my own prayer life. My prayer life ought to be me going to him, letting him know my concerns and my cares and asking him to help me with those, but realizing that it's not my job to tell him what to do. It's my job to find out what his will is and to help accomplish his will, and that he would give me everything I need to accomplish his will. But we ought to pray with the right motives. And in the middle of 101, pray according to God's will. God always answers our prayers, but his answers are not always yes, or what we want. Like a good parent, sometimes our Heavenly Father knows that what we want may not be best for us, that sometimes he does not give us what we ask for, or he does not give it to us right away. 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Luke 18:1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. One more thing, and then we'll stop here at the bottom of 101. Pray in Jesus' name. Now, I mentioned earlier that most of us close our prayers by saying, I pray this in Jesus' name. And I've said before, sometimes we treat that phrase similar to the phrase abracadabra. You watch any magic shows, they'll say abracadabra, and that's supposed to create magic. Sometimes we treat that phrase, well, if you ask in Jesus' name, and when I say we, I mean people in general, not we, my Sunday school class. But people in general sometimes will use that phrase like it's some sort of magic. And really what acknowledging is that what we are praying is under the authority and according to the will of Christ. And so it's true. If we ask anything by his authority and according to his will, he will answer that and take care of it. But just saying those words doesn't mean it's going to magically happen. John 14:13 says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So praying in Jesus' name is not something you have to end every prayer with. It's not a set of words that you're required to say, as much as it is an acknowledgement that it's according to his will and under his authority. And so we'll take up next week with the rest of this chapter and about the other ways to how to pray, and we'll spend some time doing that next week. So any questions or comments before we go? Yes.
I always say
Yeah, we should pray specifically. That's true. All right? All right, let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Dear God, we do thank you for all you've done for us. We thank you for your will. And Lord, we just pray that you would help us to know your will this week. And Father, that we would seek to do our part to accomplish what you would have, your will and what you would have us to do. Lord, I pray for the services today. Pray that you be honored.